This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and welcome to WEEI Afternoons. That was the voice of Red Sox manager Alex Cora yesterday in Florida. Spring training is underway. Pitchers and catchers worked out today. Super Bowl is in the rearview mirror. We're in the football offseason and we're in the baseball preseason. Andy Hart here alongside Nick Fitzy Stevens. And Fitzy, I'm just going to be dead honest with you. This is weird.
Why today? Finally.
Well, because, you know, I ebb and flow with my honesty. Ask my wife. It's a relationship issue. I'm excited about Red Sox season. And I don't know
why it came from. Why shouldn't you be?
I can tell you why, because they claimed they were in on Juan Soto and were going to spend like $700 million, and then when they didn't get him, they spent like $3.52.
Yeah, be careful, Andy. You've been here before.
I know, I feel...
You're ready
to be hurt again. I get it.
Well, this is where a little gullible Andy on the Twitch chat, they call me, and part of it is just, I've always been this way in life and in sports. I'm very seasonal. I get excited for the next season. Like in winter, I like fall to winter, but then I like winter to spring and spring to summer. And just like I enjoy going from football season to baseball season. When I was in high school, I played baseball in the spring and I got so excited for the start of baseball season. Spoiler alert, by May, I was sick of baseball and wanted to be done with the stupid sport and the stupid season.
Couldn't wait to lifeguard swim or just dink
around
all summer.
So this is inherently in me as a New Englander who deals with the change of seasons, both climate-wise and sports-wise. But I look and I see Cora talking and Breslow talking, and I think we're going to hear actually some cuts from Garrett Crochet today, who's one of the reasons that...
Filthy pig.
I'm excited to see him pitch. I'm excited to have an ace again. I'm excited to at least once in a 5 and or, spoiler alert, 6-day cycle, have an ace take the mound and be like a game I want to watch. I'm also buying in now. I've moved on from the fact that, okay, you didn't go get the bats I wanted. You didn't get Soto. You didn't get Pete Alonso. I guess Bregman and Arenado are still possibilities, and we'll get into that a little bit. But I'm also embracing the big three taking the spring training field together, Campbell and Mayer and Roman Anthony, and they're in BP. And I'm kind of just now resigned to the fact, I think it was Jeff Passan we had a couple weeks ago said, 2026, they're going to be ridiculously good. Well, this is the start of that. We're going to see those young guys this spring and at some point this season, even if they start in Worcester. And so I have legitimate interest in this team, excitement that'll build toward the regular season for this team. It's not perfect. It's not perfect at all. But, you know, somehow their intention was to add a right-handed bat, and all they did is let O'Neill leave and take his 31 home runs with him. So there's flaws with this team. The bullpen, they can tell me they're deeper in the bullpen, and I'll say, okay, that's great. Who's your closer? And you're, well, we haven't really named anybody yet. Well
it's going to be Hendricks, right? If you had to throw down at the table right now, your money would be on Hendricks.
Right now. And right now is February 12th. Let's see what happens when May 12th comes around and we just got past Cinco de Mayo and we'll see if he's still your closer. But I am legitimately excited and intrigued. And maybe I'm just buying in because they believe they're a playoff team. Breslow thinks they're a playoff team. Cora thinks they're a playoff team, which they haven't been a playoff team. That would be a nice step in a positive direction. But do you share any of my excitement, anticipation for the 2025 Boston Red Sox?
I was already excited to watch the Boys of Summer report to summer-like conditions in beautiful Fort Myers, Florida, one of my favorite areas of the country, heralding the start of baseball games that mean nothing other than having the sweet sound of America's favorite white noise in the background, in the air, once again, baseball. And then on top of it, on a day like today, you see the pitchers and the catchers, you hear from Crochet, the filthy pig is excited about being in Boston and wants to be the stopper, wants to be the man for the Red Sox. There's juice around the prospects, and we got the trailer for last year's Netflix documentary about the Red Sox today, and that highlighted just exactly the star potential of a couple of the guys that are on the team or what eccentric characters they are, Andy. And so all of this builds up to, like, this is one big bouillabaisse, one big soup of excitement for baseball. That and the fact that it has snowed every other day for the past week, and it doesn't snow a lot during baseball season. So when I see baseball being played, I think, oh, good, it's not going to snow again. So hell yeah, I'm fired up for this Red Sox season.
So if I asked you, what is the biggest reason that you're excited, fired up, confident, intrigued by the 2025 Boston Red Sox, what would your answer be?
I'm going to power rank them for you. I'm going to give the bronze medal.
Okay.
I'm going to give the bronze medal to Alex Cora finding a way to get this team back to the playoffs.
He's in good shape, by the way. Did you see him?
He is. AC looks ready.
Said he ran 5 miles. He's been doing 920 pace down in Puerto Rico. Gets up here. He's doing 845s today or yesterday. 845s. That's a good pace. That's a good pace.
That's not a jog. That's when a jog becomes a run. Once you get 9 and under, that's when a jog becomes a run.
Is that the rule?
I made that up just now. Do you like it?
Yeah, and I'll go with it.
10-minute miles are still jog-ish, if you will, but once you get 9 and under, now
you get under. You get under 9? Okay, you're calling that a run. I like it. Okay.
Alex Cora. The silver medal goes to Crochet. I am fired up for a stopper. An ace, a big guy who wants to take the ball every 6 days and just fire straight heat. Filth and be the man. We have not had someone want to be the man in some time, at least not since the prime of those couple years we had of Chris Sale. Yes.
So let me ask you, Crochet.
Yeah.
What are you looking for? Because I know on the old show, the old version, the old afternoons with Arcand, I made the mistake of saying, I mean, could he be Pedro? And I don't mean in talent, but in terms of you brought Pedro in from Montreal to be the next ace, to be the stopper. And he obviously went in historic and Hall of Fame direction with that role. But what does he have to do to be what you're looking for him to be, to fulfill your excitement? Are we talking Cy Young, 20-game winner? They end up giving him a $400 million contract by August? You know, because obviously Chris Sale, the comparisons are there because the White Sox, the lefty. I know Cora said he's like Chris Sale, but like, you know, a little bigger, a little more size to him.
A little less. Yeah, he looks like a slightly more durable Chris.
Yes.
Chris Sale.
So, but what do you need from Crochet? Are you looking for, you know, starts the first 2 months 7-0 with a sub-1 ERA or something crazy?
Fine, go on.
Or is it less than that? More realistic expectations?
Realistically speaking, what I'm looking for from Garrett Crochet is someone who wins 3 out of every 4 starts. Somebody that rarely puts you in a position to get blown out. That is good for 6, maybe 7 innings every time. A legitimate ace. Like, not seeing him go 2 1/3, 7 earned, 3 strikeouts, 5 walks in his second start because, oh, he just didn't get tuned up in time. This guy knows that a big payday is looming, and I mean like a big payday. And if he goes out there today and delivers, this is this season, this is the most likely place he's going to get that payday. So I want a regular top of the rotation badass that throws upper 90s and keeps the Red Sox in every one of those starts.
So you know I'm not necessarily a quant or an analytics guy, all that. But I go to his baseball reference page, and they have a projection, right, for the 2025 season. Tell me what you think of this projection.
Okay.
6-9 record. 6-9 record. You hear that? 6-9.
I'm not going to say nice.
Okay, not nice. Nope. ERA of 3.69. 127 innings pitched. He gave up 15 home runs, 37 walks. His WHIP is 1.15.
I'm sorry. Is this like Wikipedia? Can you hack baseball?
I don't think
baseball
so.
Reference so that you can actually just, you know, enter whatever you want like Wikipedia?
This is, I think, supposed to be a quantitative analysis of his past and future and comps and all those things, and they come up with, I'm sure they have some proprietary computer formula thing, AI has entered the conversation.
What?
I got to tell you. If Garrett Crochet only wins 6 games, I know wins are an archaic stat in baseball. You're not supposed to care about wins anymore for starting pitchers. Mm-hmm. But
worse season last year, Andy, than last year.
Hmm?
That would be like that would mean he would have a worse season for the Red Sox in 2025 than he did basically for the White Sox, the worst team maybe in the history of baseball last season.
So you're telling, because I also would say if that's his projection, my projection is they are not a playoff team. I do not believe the Red Sox will be a playoff team with Garrett Crochet winning 6 games. I find that very difficult to rationalize in my head here in early February.
Yeah, I think you can probably lean into that take. If he goes 6-9, I mean, that's like, I thought you were going to say like 16-9,
no.
To which point I'd be like, oh, that's good. I'll take that for sure.
Yeah, the only thing that's missing is the one.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a typo.
6-9? His ERA goes up from last year. He has fewer strikeouts. He has a higher WHIP. Is this because he's pitching in the American League East? I mean, you kind of basically face everyone almost the same number of times now, though, the way that they have the schedule broken down.
He also has less innings pitched.
Was he getting hurt? He just got Tommy John a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't know. And to be fair, maybe this is just some, because he was such a breakout guy last year, maybe that throws off their projection system or whatever model at Baseball Reference. But yeah, that jumped out at me. If he wins 6 games, Garrett Crochet is a 6-game winner. That's 6, just the single digit 6. If he's a 6-game winner, I can't imagine they make the playoffs. But what's number one on Fitzy's list of reasons to be excited about the Boston Red Sox?
The same thing that I love most about my life that prevents me from getting any sleep on a regular basis, the kids. I want to see the kids. I am ready. I am fired up. I need new heroes. I need new jerseys to buy the kids. I need new people that I don't want to miss at bats of. I need new people that I would imagine if I were my children's age that I would want to hang the posters up above the wall. I want to go to the, you know, card expos and buy the baseball cards of and invest in the futures of the Campbells and the Anthonys and the Mayers. We have heard about them, Andy, for so long. It's like when you hear about a movie that you're super excited to see and they announce that it's in production. And you're like, oh, cool. When's it coming out? 2.5 years from now. And you're like, mother pus bucket. I got to wait almost 3 years. Then you finally see a teaser. Then you see the real trailer and it's still a year away. Well, we have heard about the screenplay being written. We have heard about it being in production. We have heard about them taking it out to press. We have seen all the trailers. I am now ready to see the movie that is called Anthony, Campbell, and Mayer.
100%. And that is where I have landed early in spring training. Because spring training to me is about young players. It's about buzz. I'm looking forward to reports from Fort Myers, reports from Lou Maloney, some video where he's talking about, oh my God, these kids are ready. They're so ready. They don't need any more seasoning. They don't need AAA. They're not 4A. They are major league ball players. And now is the time to be hopeful of those things because, you know, who knows? Mayer might have a back injury in 2 weeks and, you know, Campbell might have struck out 37
times. You do that to me on 6 rings, guy, where you tell me like, oh, it's okay to be optimistic and be silly season, Fitzy. And then guess what?
Reality
blows up in my face every time.
Reality's going to set in at some point. Reality often bites. But for right now, you should have hope about those guys. I even was listening to Breslow yesterday, and the idea that he was talking about Marcelo Mayer going to move around the infield, going to play second, short, third, that they're going to see what he can do. And that idea.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So that even piqued my interest of, oh, are they looking for a place to play him? Are they looking for him to be at the big league club? Christian Campbell, we know, is really good. Is he going to be the second baseman? Is he going to beat out Vaughn Grissom, who's another young player who we never really got to see last year, and maybe he can help balance out that Chris Sale trade? And Roman Anthony is supposed to be the second coming of freaking Ken Griffey Jr. or whatever you want to call it. He's supposed to be maybe in
Bryce, he's like Bryce. I keep hearing like Bryce Harper comps to Roman Anthony as well. And the Campbell kid, people say, from the folks that are in the know that I've heard from and spoken with, they say, strangely enough, he may have the highest ceiling of them all.
Oh, yeah. Baby Bonds, Barry Bonds Jr., Barry Bonds 2.0, like all these things. And these are all awesome reasons to be excited about the Red Sox. And I think that's what's key here, is we've now moved on mentally and emotionally, or at least some of us. I don't want to speak for everybody. 617-779-7937. You can text, you can call, you can speak for yourself. But energy-wise and emotionally, I've kind of moved on from any disappointments of the offseason, Soto or Bregman, whatever you want to talk about. Now, we have eyes on the ground, boots on the ground, and Roman Anthony's taking batting practice, right? And Craig Breslow's talking about Marcelo Mayer and what positions he's going to play and the young guys. And now the reality of what's on the field and the hope of what's on the field is there in front of us. It's no longer really a projection or a down the road. It's kind of the here and now. These guys are battling for roles and roster spots and jobs. And as you said, they're also battling to be the idol of some 7-year-old kid that's like,
yeah,
Dad, I want a Roman Anthony jersey. Yeah, I want a Marcelo Mayer jersey. Like, and that's part of it. That's part of this entertainment value. And we'll get into that because I found it interesting. They asked Craig Breslow about that question I always talk about with you, Fitzy. It's entertainment first from our perspective.
Right.
Do they consider that? And Craig Breslow actually acknowledged sort of that they do consider that at times, even if they also acknowledge that winning is fun and that's the key to entertainment and winning games, and they need to win more games this year and all of that. So that's where we're starting today. It's spring training. It's Red Sox season. We're going to hear from Alex Cora. We're going to hear from Craig Breslow. We're going to hear from Garrett Crochet. We're also going to hear from Brian Scalabrine at 4 o'clock. And if you've been paying attention, Scal is obsessed with the lady friend of a certain new Celtics player. So we'll ask him about that, all that, and much more on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have Fitzy with What's Trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by our friends at Time Out Market. Yes, spring is in the air, even though we are in the dregs of winter. And the boys of summer are back in Fort Myers as the Red Sox get spring training 2025 underway. Pitchers and catchers reporting. Oh, my. Garrett Crochet spoke with the media today as well. He's excited, the Filthy Pig, to hopefully be the new ace of the Boston Red Sox this year and going forward. We also heard from several other players, including manager Alex Cora once again, and the kid who may be the star, outfielder Roman Anthony, who talked about why he is excited to be putting on a Sox uni.
It's awesome. I think that's the goal. You know, when you get drafted, is to put yourself in this position and, you know, get to big league camp and to possibly win a job and help this team as soon as possible. I think that's the goal for all of us. So it's exciting to finally be here and have that chance. So I'm really excited for it. I'm going to have fun with it. And I'm going to enjoy it.
Speaking of having fun with the Red Sox, the trailer today for The Clubhouse, the new Netflix documentary series chronicling the 2024 Red Sox season, dropped. We'll be talking about that later on in the show. In basketball, your Boston Celtics have their final tilt before the All-Star break. It's at home, where they've struggled a little bit of late with a 15-10 record. Victor Wembanyama, the French freak, comes to town tonight for a 7 o'clock tilt. And you're not going to want to miss any of that action. We'll talk to Brian Scalabrine to see exactly how excited he is about that one at 4 o'clock today on WEEI Afternoons. And to top it all off, a documentary about the Celtics championship season that'll be premiering on Max this March also dropped a little teaser today. We'll be talking about that soon. And finally, in the wide world of football, Matt Patricia, former New England Patriots offensive and defensive coordinator and famous FOB, friend of Belichick, is reportedly going to be the new defensive coordinator for the defending national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. You just can't make it up, folks. Training brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. This is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Don't you go anywhere. More WEEI Afternoons rolling.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
His name is Garrett Crochet, the new ace of the Boston Red Sox.
Good job, Andy.
Talking about how he's fitting in.
Not very slim and not too shady.
No.
All right, now it's dead.
Yep. Nick just
but he may like pull some winds out like Houdini.
Oh man,
just really crushing it. He fast forwarded at least there, right?
Nick, don't lose yourself.
Oh, can we stop? No, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Depending on where he lives in like Newton, it could be an 8-mile road to get to the stadium.
You guys done? It's WEEI Afternoons here. We're trying to talk Red Sox. I'm trying to get excited about the season, and you are beating the dead horse with Eminem cheap dad jokes. Fitzy, you said you're excited. I said I'm kind of excited about the Boston Red Sox, by the way. We should probably clarify that. Don't want to just say in general we're excited.
I'm excited in general.
So I figured today would be a good day for the poll at Jumbo Hart on Twitter, WEEI Afternoons. With spring training upon us, how do you feel about the Red Sox heading into the 2025 season? And I gave three options.
Only three?
Yeah.
In this economy? Okay.
You know, well, you're only allowed to give four. I don't know. Can you give more if you pay for it? I'm not like, I don't pay.
No,
for
I
it.
Have premium X and you cannot.
No more polls if you. Nope. Okay. Good to know. Anyway, so I went first choice, excited slash confident. Second choice was dubious slash hesitant. And third choice was concerned slash not buying it. And the leader right now is dubious slash hesitant, the middle option, with 47% of the vote. Next is concerned not buying it with 41% of the vote. That's a pretty big chunk. And then last would be the homers like Lil Gullible Andy. Just 12% are excited and confident about the 2025 Boston Red Sox. Although, as any good manipulator on TV news or pollster politician type can tell you, you can kind of you can nudge these a little bit, these numbers. So if I say it to you like this, almost 60% of Red Sox fans are not concerned about their team. That's good,
right?
There you go. Right?
There you go. Now, that is mainstream media manipulation at its finest.
So, but what it is telling you is, and I think they've earned this, quite honestly, the Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, John Henry, now Craig Breslow, they've earned this hesitation, right? Like, people have wanted to buy in year after year, haven't been totally sold. I put it in the email this morning. The team-owned newspaper, the Boston Globe, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Had a big opening day for spring training column slash story yesterday about how only 7 media outlets were on hand for the press conferences for Alex Cora and Craig Breslow.
That's interesting that the rag du jour of Fenway would actually be shaming other outlets that they weren't there.
Yeah, and it's as they painted it, it's a sign of where sports media is right now. Sports media, there's not as much money, there's not as much budgets to cover things like this, to cover things they used to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I if I'm not mistaken, two points to this. One, last week Tom Curran spoke about this at the Super Bowl. He said, while there's still, don't get him wrong, a glut of media from all over the world, it didn't feel like the same, you know, throngs of media that usually show up with like 15 guys for every network and website and newspaper were there. It, you know, people were sort of like compartmentalizing and downsizing, and I'm sure that's the same as well. And two, don't forget, like, you probably get as much traction or engagement from some of the bigger podcasts or alternative forms of, you know, information and entertainment now. Like, you know, no offense to the Boston Globe, but if Jared Carrabas runs down for Underdog and does a podcast at spring training, more people are going to learn about the Red Sox than if they read a column from, you know, any Dan Shaughnessy or somebody else.
Right, and that can be produced at a more cost-effective way, I guess I would say, rather than the old days of, we're this newspaper, we're going to send three writers down to rent a house, and they're going to be there for 2 months, and we're going to feed them, and they're going to be drinking beer on our dime and all the per diems, and it's just, it's a different world now.
Right.
It is what it is. But I would also argue some of it may have to do with the interest in the team and the confidence in the team and the excitement surrounding the team. So it'll be interesting. So what do you think about the Boston Red Sox? Fitzy's excited. I'm excited. At least 12% of my Twitter followers are excited. Are you excited? 617-779-7937. Let's chum the waters of phone calls today with Tony in West Springfield. What are your thoughts on the Boston Red Sox heading into spring training 2025?
Hey, I was going to call in and ask about you know, Wick is a great owner. I think we can all agree. He spends a lot of money, but how does legacy be affected if he sold to somebody like John Henry and, you know, they don't succeed? But before you hang up on me, would you rather John Henry be the Celtics owner, or would you rather Grosbeck be the Sox owner?
All right, thanks for the call, Tony. So would I rather John Henry be the Celtics owner?
Is that a carryover from the midday show where they do Would You Rather Wednesday?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Okay.
Or we could spin it our way and say, what if John Henry was the Celtics owner?
And what if Wick Grosbeck was the owner of the Boston Red Sox?
Well, see, this is, I mean, the obvious answer, the superficial obvious answer is you'd want Wick to run the Red Sox, right? Because he just took the Celtics and he invests more than anybody in the world in his basketball team. He's signing everybody to contracts. The roster's so expensive that his father was like, hey, we got to get out of this business.
We would have got Soto.
You would have gotten Soto. You yep. probably would have gotten Soto, or at least in a bidding war to get Soto. Now
and Max Fried, and then we'd learn that they were both going to be traded in 2 years.
Maybe. There's a portion of that, but you'd have a parade because you get paid in parades because they get paid in parades in the Wick Grosbeck family, right? And the father's like, I'd rather be paid in cash. What's this parade thing? How do I cash that? Is that a new cryptocurrency called parades that is trading or something?
It's an NFT.
Yeah.
With a Z.
Careful with the pump and dump scheme that somebody's going to get you on that. No, I think the obvious superficial answer is you'd rather have the owner who has had his team win a title, has had his team in the finals, investing in a young roster is fun, all that. Like, I think there's more layers to it. Yes, it is.
Yeah, because then does that mean now John Henry owns the Celtics?
But would I be okay with that?
No.
Why?
Are you kidding me?
What?
He doesn't spend.
Oh, you don't like owners that
used to
won like crazy in this town?
Don't back me into a corner.
The John Henry thing I find fascinating. It's funny the caller brings it up because he should be beloved. The titles he brought here, the impossible things that he's done here, and yet the way it's gone the last few, yeah, like the last few years though has, and you've referenced it before, Fitzy, the old Ted Sarandis Knights here on WEEI 20 plus years ago used to say every title you win, you get a 5 year window where you can't be criticized.
That is the Ted Sarandis, Bill Simmons principle. You get 5 years of grace from your fans.
So four World Series championships. What does that mean?
Don't ask Diz. That's 20 years.
20 years.
Two decades.
I don't believe we're 20 years from the last title, are we?
No, we are 7 years, but it feels like a long seven years.
So we have another 13 years before you can criticize John Henry.
You guys
both
know.
Yeah, but they traded Mookie Betts.
Yeah, that does not fly anymore
today. It doesn't.
In Boston.
I
no
agree.
Shot.
It never had any shot, honestly, even back 20 plus years ago when Ted Sarandis was saying it. But in this world,
it's what have you done for me
TikTok
yesterday?
And Twitter and trends and social media, short attention spans, there's no way you're getting that. And we're just more critical. I think it's a far more critical world even than it was back then in a weird way, given the political climate, the social climate, the whole everybody sees something they hate and immediately has to tell everybody they hate it.
Well, because it's the age of immediacy and heightened expectations and demands. And quite frankly, somebody, who has to traffic in it on a regular basis, it's the age of too much information. I got to be honest, I actually like knowing less. I almost want to go back to knowing less. I'm not rooting, certainly not rooting for the comet or the asteroid or even an EMP. But I kind of like the day and the age where it was like, well, if you miss the game, you got to wait till the paper the next morning or your degenerate dad calling a 1-900 number to get a score at 1 a.m.
So too much information. You think that's ruined
too
everything?
Too much information. Oh, absolutely. We know too much. We expect too much. Everything is on demand. It's not okay. Like, let me get back to you later. Like, no, I want you to slide into my DMs. Email me. Don't call me because nobody calls each other anymore unless you have a flip phone because that's kind of cool because it's retro. It means you're anti-digital. Oh, and also text me later on. Like, it's crazy.
I'm trying to digest that point that we have too much information now and that is hindering our ability to enjoy. Is that
correct?
Is that the
100%
connection.
Whether
here?
It's people needing to check their fantasy teams and constantly be in touch with people at other locations when they're there. And oh, wait a second, let me pull my phone out and record this moment that I'm living so I can tell other people I was there for it, as opposed to just being in the moment, knowing and doing less. Damn it.
I'm trying to translate that to the Boston Red Sox, and I think there's some truth to it in the way that we've been living the Marcelo Mayer watch party for what, 4 years now? Like, he was the savior. He's the guy that is going to be the rebirth, the Heim Bloom, Red Sox, the build the system, youth movement, Red Sox. And there's probably some truth to that. We knew about him too soon. We spoke about him too soon. You know, he was the best player in the draft who fell to them at number four and that whole thing. So maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe there's some truth that too much information, too much expectation has created our own angst and our own negativity. But I'm not going to go down that road because right now, I have plenty of information on the Boston Red Sox. I know that Garrett Crochet is happy to be here. We'll see if he's happy to be here when he wins 6 games this year, according to Baseball Reference. And we'll see if us as fans are happy that he's here when he wins 6 games this baseball season. But Marcelo Mayer, Christian Campbell, that whole crew, Roman Anthony, the future best player in baseball, They're here. The bullpen might be better. The manager's in great shape. He seems happy. All's well that ends well in Fenway Nation this year, and it's all underway down in Florida. Red Sox spring training, and we're talking about it here on WEEI Afternoons. But up next, we're going to look back to look ahead, or look ahead to looking back. I don't know. Netflix has a documentary coming. It's about a year with the Boston Red Sox last season. And I'll be honest, I wasn't interested in it until I saw the trailer. We're going to play you the trailer and see if it piques your interest to watch this latest Red Sox documentary. Up next on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons on a Wednesday afternoon here in Boston. Spring training is underway down in Florida. So we're talking 2025 Boston Red Sox, your excitement level, your trepidation. Are you ready for the season? Are they ready for the season? All of that and more. 617-779-7937. But we also need to look back for a minute on last year, which was, I guess, a typical season in recent years where they weren't terrible. They were in the hunt. We didn't know what they were going to do at the trade deadline. And then they didn't make the playoffs. They kind of petered out at the end. And we were left for another long offseason of hope. Anyway, Netflix cameras were around them for the entirety of the, or most, I won't say the entirety because I remember at some point, Fitzy, some around the team were like, hey, the Netflix cameras aren't even around anymore. Did they lose interest in the season?
Once you commit to a season-long bit like that, you're going to be there more often than not. And I would love to know, maybe we'll be able to hear more about this as the hype that leads to the drop of the clubhouse coming up soon. I would love to know why Netflix picked the Red Sox and why they picked the 2024 season, because I don't think there was anyone that was saying, whew, man, watch out. This could be one of those seasons. It was more like, really? You guys want to film this season?
Well, that's a great question. And they didn't end up with playoffs. They didn't end up with championship. But they did end up with a lot of storylines along the way. You had Tristan Casas and his injury and idiosyncrasies and things in the outfield and all those histrionics. You had the contract extension for Cora. There were ups. There were downs. There were a variety of aspects to it. And as you said, it is called The Clubhouse, A Year with the Red Sox. And it airs on April 8th on Netflix. But they put out a trailer today, which kind of hooked me, kind of made me want to watch it. So give it a listen.
What's up, Will? How you doing? Nice to see you.
I dedicated my life to this game. It's tough when you go up there because you're vulnerable. You can do everything right and still have a bad result.
Damn it, man. What am I doing out there, man? What the man? What am I doing, man? Damn it, Tristan. Get a grip, kid. Damn, you can't beat me with anything. He's throwing 90 miles an hour, man. Get a swing off. Pathetic.
It's a bad feeling when you feel like you're the reason why you're losing.
But, you know, the life away from the field can't be affected by the results on it.
In case you weren't aware, that was Tristan Casas, who, based on the trailer, is going to be a central figure in this Netflix documentary, despite missing the bulk of the season to, what was, there was a rib something?
It was a sneeze and a rib.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he tore some rib cartilage or separated some ribs, and, like, said, like, then there was all the controversy with, like, the way he described it. It felt like being shot or stabbed,
yeah,
or, like, not that he knew, like. And then there was the All-Star game where he talked about his dad basically just, like, literally throwing him onto the field at one point.
Yeah, there was
a
lot.
He's a wild, he's a ride, man.
I'm not surprised that he ends up as a central figure in a documentary. And that whole teaser is basically him talking to himself after grounding out And he's, you know, he says it that the guy's only throwing effing 90, where I'm thinking, the guy's throwing effing 90. I mean, that's not nothing. I know in this day and age, everybody throws 100, but 90's still a major league fastball. Greg Maddux made his way to the Hall of Fame barely throwing 90 miles an hour. So nothing to sneeze at. But did you watch that, Fitzy, and did it work? Did it make you want to watch this documentary? Because it worked for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't forget, we're also just coming off of Netflix's three-part documentary, The Comeback, that gave us all of our old Fenway feels for the 2004 epic comeback in the ALCS against the Yankees. So I didn't want to see the rah-rah, like, standard issue, talking head, direct-to-camera, you know, going through things type of documentary. Something like this where they find a moment and they let it sit for a while, as opposed to just cutting away. Like, this is great. And it doesn't even guarantee Casas is going to be a central figure. They could just be trying to rope you in with, instead of a 75-second, 90-second, or 2-minute long, like, the highs, the lows, narration from someone like Liev Schreiber or something like that. Like, nope. It's just like, these are some quirky dudes. And this guy, this Casas kid is a real weird MF-er, and this is the contemporary state of baseball, so you guys aren't going to want to miss the behind-the-scenes peek that this presents. I found that one singular moment to be more compelling than a 60-second-long hype trailer for the doc.
Well, you have to, because the season itself about the team as an entity, we know was unfulfilling. Everybody was left unfulfilled at the end, so I do think you, as a good documentarian, have to build it around the characters and the stories and the threads of the season. As the tech line said, the Duran saga is also likely to be a part of this documentary. Well, I mean, you never know what they've agreed to.
You got to steer head. Like, I will be massively disappointed. That's one of the reasons why I do want to watch. And I'm not saying, like, oh, gather around, kids. Here, somebody use a term your dad hasn't used in 30 years, because it's really offensive to pretty much everybody. Like, no, this needs to be. And he did a good job at the time. The team did a good job. The league did a good job. But, like, they're filming a documentary, and all of a sudden that happens. It needs to be addressed and, like, not skirted away from. If they cut it out, shame on them.
And I know you're the film school guy, so you're supposed to be the dorky movie TV guy.
All right. It doesn't have to come with, like, some sort of, like, insulting disclaimer.
I kind of liked that I could hear his cleats hitting the base path. And I don't know if that was added or if they had microphones that good, but him running down to first base as he grounds out, and you can hear every footstep as his metal spikes sort of puncture the field.
Well, they have mics embedded in the bases as well. And
yeah, but how does it get him in the middle of, like, you know, 10 feet down the base, 20 feet down the base?
You used to be on the sidelines at NFL games when you were for the Patriots. Yeah, so you got the parabolic, like, when you have a crew that's NFL films quality, like the one Netflix deployed to Red Sox games to film the clubhouse, they're going to be bringing in all sorts of extra embeddable microphones, parabolics, and things that'll give you those sounds that, like, put you in his head, in his path. You dirty, filthy.
You were the one going to say it. Anyway, so that's
all right.
The Red Sox documentary, April 8th on Netflix. I think we'll all be watching. I'm sure we'll talk about it once it airs. It feels like something that Stiz is going to eat up, because he loves the behind-the-scenes, getting-to-know sports, inside baseball kind of content.
I hope they show all the mind swings that Tristan took.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they're going to show a lot of things. It's going to be an interesting documentary, so we'll look forward to watching that.
Sunning himself in the outfield like a weirdo.
Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. That means Ted Johnson is in the house, and we're turning the page, but not to football. We're turning the page to the Boston Celtics. Celtics, Spurs tonight. Wembanyama in town. Jason Tatum coming off that massive third quarter the other night. Was that an inflection point? Do the Celtics have a little momentum heading into this All-Star break? And remember, at 4 o'clock, we'll talk to Scal about the All-Star break, about Megan Thee Stallion, about the Celtics, about the whole damn thing. So that's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.